Hey, guess who's back in black? Well, actually, you can't see what color we're wearing. I'm wearing red. Well, I would be if I was wearing clothing. But anyway, we are here. We are doing our top 100, personal top 100 list today. I am Jen.
And I'm Jerry.
And we are getting ready to get this started. Before we do that, though, I missed reporting something last week, and I feel really bad about it.
Do tell.
Johnny, at the Cannes Film Festival, when he made his appearance, he got a 7-minute standing ovation from the crowd.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, we love you. We know you are doing everything you can. Man, just hold on. Whatever it is, it'll get better, I promise.
Yeah.
But yeah,
So Cannes was last week?
Cannes was... Oh, you're going to make me look it up.
Pretty recent then.
It was pretty recent. I got the image was sent to me. Barry actually sent me that image. One morning last week before I went to work, so...
Johnny at Cannes is like peanut butter and jelly.
Oh yeah, especially he would much prefer to, he much prefers the climate in Europe rather than here in the States, and I can't blame him. I mean, even the paparazzi are polite in Europe. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. The festival and probably the town itself will likely just kick you out for being rude to the guests. It's a resort town.
No kidding. Well, I mean, just Europe in general. Like Robbie Williams, he's a musician as well. I don't know. I love him. I think he's great. But he has underage children, and he does feature them in his videos, but they're always seen from the back. His children have never been photographed with their faces showing and released to the public. It's a safety thing.
Yeah.
More than anything, but Robbie, you know, he sees the paparazzi and he's like, look, guys, these are my kids. Hey, I would really appreciate it if you get a picture of their faces, that you not release it, because, you know, that's a big deal with me, and I'm really wanting to, you know, and they do. Not once has any of them said, oh, well, I can make a whole lot of money with the faces of these kids, because he's never released them. Not once. So, yeah, the paparazzi are actually polite.
Yeah. It must be, you know, mainland Europe. You know, I do know that the royals still have a paparazzi problem in Britain. But I can see, like, Germany, France, like, no.
Well,
so no-go.
It may just be the royals that have the issue, because Robbie lives in England. So
I remember that song Millennium that he did. I do remember Robbie Williams.
Well, Robbie Williams, I have an image of him totally bare-assed with his hands holding his junk. I swear, I don't care how old
right.
The man gets, he's still built. I am so impressed with him. Oh, yeah.
Still stand fit.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the pic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's still very fit, and he's just an amazing guy all the way around.
You know, he's our age.
Yes. Well, he's a little older.
He's a little older?
Yeah, I think he's a little older than you and I.
Wow.
I think. I might be mistaken, but I think he is a little older.
He's a Gen Xer for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
But anyway, let's... Moving on. So how much trouble did your top 100 list give you, Carrie?
It gave me some trouble. I'm not going to lie. We're talking about 10 decades, or pardon me, 10 years of a decade of really, really great music. And yeah, trying to rank it was kind of difficult. That being said, while I was trying to kind of rank that, you know, picking the songs wasn't that big a deal.
Right.
It was putting them in order. And while I was putting them in order, I had the year next to them. I noticed in my particular case that it was heavier towards the beginning and the middle, as we kind of suspected, than it was towards the late 80s.
Mine as well.
Yeah.
Matter of fact.
And that kind of changed, I guess, when we start getting into like the grunge, and that's when I'm like, yeah. But like 1988, 1989.
That was not really 80s music, though. I don't care what I don't care what year it came out. There's a feel to 80s music.
That really seems like that's something you could head with this entire project that we've done.
What's that?
That there were, yeah, some 88, 89 that had that feel. There was definitely a feel.
Yes.
For 80s music.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, 80s music is a type. I don't care what you say. You've got grunge, you've got punk, you've got metal, you've got 80s. Okay? Yeah. That's just, I mean, it is a type of music for me. I don't know how everybody else sees it, but that's it for me. And every type of music has its own feel.
I think it's pretty observable. And, you know, on the other side of that, there were some songs, you know, when we were doing our research earlier, that were, you know, 1978, 79, that I was like, wow, I could have swore that was 1980, 1981. They felt like 80s tunes.
Right. Exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely. So we are not, I am not going to try to hit everybody with our top 100s and you know, all that kind of good stuff. I do want to know, all right, what is your number one out of all of the 80s, out of a solid decade of absolutely fantastic music? What finally ranked number one with you?
Okay, so I'm about 75% done with these rankings. And, you know, I've looked over these for like a week, so I feel pretty confident. But I've got a hard top three that's ranked.
All right. Give me the top three.
And I have number one.
Give me the top three.
All right. So I've got Eyes Without a Face, number one.
Nice.
That is my 80s. That's my 80s tune. Yep. 1984. And real close with it is 99 Luftballons.
Wow.
By Nina.
Okay. That kind of surprises me, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it was very, it's so 80s, and it's such a great song, and it's very deep.
Yes.
And then number three, I'm going to go with a song that I thought was a 1978, 1979 song, but was actually released in 1980, and I'm so glad that I could put it on this list, and it breaks the top three for 80s.
Okay.
And it's controversial, but it is, it's Rise by Herb Albert.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na. It's jazzy, it's a total instrumental, and that song has followed me around all my life.
The fact that it's totally instrumental? Wow.
Strictly an instrumental.
But hey.
By Herb Albert.
Hey, that's okay, because sometimes those songs say the most.
And actually, number four seems to be Magic by Olivia Newton-John, and A Photograph by Def Leppard rounds it out at number five. And I'm done.
Nice, nice. All right. Definitely very, very cool.
How about your, have you kind of hammered out a top three, top five?
I've got a top three.
Okay.
But see, I cheated, okay? I'm not going to lie. I freaking cheated. I've got, like, this is my first favorite, like, 15 songs. After, like, number three, it's like, these are the next up to 15 in no particular order.
Yeah.
Kind of right. Deal. So, yeah, I cheated.
Yeah.
But
nice technique, actually.
My top three. Number three, this is one that I just like yours with Herb Alpert, I could have sworn that it was done in the 70s.
Ooh. Can I take a guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I want to guess on the artist.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that it's either Fleetwood Mac or Pat Benatar.
No.
Ooh.
America is the band.
Okay.
The song is Magic. You can do magic. You can have anything. Yep. You know darn well when you cast your spell, you will get your way. When you hypnotize with your eyes, the heart of stone will turn to clay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. I've loved that song. That is, like, every... You just hear that, the opening notes, and, like, my whole body goes on alert. I love that song. I always have.
Lovely.
It's a combination of the music, the lyrics, and the tonality of the song.
Yeah. It sounded amazing.
Yes. And it was unique. It's just like when you hear some... You know what song that is. Yes.
And it really did kind of bridge the 70s and the 80s.
It did. But you hear that music, you know what song it is.
Yeah.
That one, my number two, is just, it's also my top, my absolute favorite love song. That is Lionel Richie's Hello. And my number one, my absolute favorite of all time, that this song screams 80s to me. No, anybody who hears this song knows what decade it's from. That is my girl, Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll.
Had to be there.
Had to.
I'm glad one of us chose that.
Oh, yeah. But see, so I did my best on for my list. I did my best to stay away from, like, the top 5 or 10 of the Billboard charts, because we all know those songs. We all know you love them. We all know they're great songs. Let's look at some of the songs that weren't ranked up there, that weren't quite so well known. Those are the ones that I tried to concentrate on.
Yeah, but they were also phenomenons.
Oh, yeah. And Pat Benatar is... Pat Benatar is actually comes up at number four with two of hers.
Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
And?
Heartbreaker.
No.
What is it?
Love Is a Battlefield.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you know, and that would be appropriate.
Yep, Love Is a Battlefield.
That's the song that shows Pat Benatar going through the 80s completely successfully. One was early 80s,
mm-hmm.
One was mid to late 80s.
Yep, and if you listen to Joan Jett's music from I Love Rock and Roll all the way through to, now I can't call the name of the song. But if you listen...
I Hate Myself for Loving You?
Yeah, thank you. It catalogs her life with one single person.
Yeah, interesting.
So, yep. But yeah, those are my top five.
You came up with a fantastic list, actually, for your top three.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But we were going to look at a couple of different categories this, and we've named four. We might do a few more. We might end up doing a few less. I don't know. But okay. What your choice of category was... how'd you put it? Blow My Life Up?
Blow My Life Up songs, right?
Yep. All right, let's hear it. What you got?
Okay. So, and also, gentle listener, we both, this was Jen's idea. The categories that she came up with for the cool extras was Blow Your Life Up song.
No, that was your idea.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Everything else was, what was the top love song, top breakup song, top sexy getting it on song.
Sex song, and top cheating song.
Top cheating song, top fuck you song, yep. And top what the fuck song.
Yep.
And so, just in case you chose the same song that I did, I came up with an alternate.
Okay, let's hear your number one.
Well, the Blow Your Life Up song, yeah. I couldn't come up with a second one because it's so definitive. And for me, it is, no surprise, Burning Down the House by Talking Heads.
Okay, that's actually a really good one. But yeah. Now, see, I came up with, I'll give you my top three.
Oh, okay.
All right. I came up with several, but yeah. My top three. Number three, Who Can It Be Now? Men at Work, 1982. In that same vein, number two is 1984's Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
That was going to be, my second pick.
And people are going to have to go listen to this song to see what I'm talking about. Because everybody's going to go, that's not a Blow Your Life Up song. Yes, it is. Listen to the words. Pac-Man Fever.
Oh.
1982 by Buckner and Garcia.
Garcia, right. And you are so right.
I know.
Because that guy is obsessed.
Exactly.
And a lot of people were.
And, well, yeah, and I'm sorry, I still don't know the difference between Blinky. I know who Pinky is because he's pink.
Yeah, right.
But Blinky, Pinky, whatever, I don't even know all their names.
Right.
They're ghosts, okay? You don't touch them when they're any color but blue. That's all I know.
Yeah, right. And eat as many dots as possible. Yep. I don't care what color he is, he's coming for my ass.
And my sister, we had... My dad got us the Atari 2600. Oh, man. He actually separated out a part of the living room and made it into a game room for us. So nice. That was awesome. But so we had the Atari 2600. One of the first games that we got was Pac-Man. My sister, we had to leave because there was no saving your game. This was not a something you could save your game on, okay? Atari did not have a save mode. So, once you turned it off, all progress was wiped.
Yes.
Which is good when you suck, but, not so good when you're killing it. So, my sister, I'm trying to think, she couldn't have been maybe 15 maybe? She had memorized the patterns on the Atari 2600 Pac-Man.
Oh, my God.
She had played it. We lost track of the levels after about 158. We lost track of the levels, but she played it so long, the score stayed, but the game itself reset and went back down to the first level.
Yeah, it could only count so high.
Yeah, it could only go so high, and there were only so many modifications that it could make. There were only so many speeds it could go through. So she played it so long, it actually reset itself and went back to level one. She went, okay, that's it, I'm done, this is boring now, click. But yeah, she did that. What we would do is she would take and put the controller and the game system inside the little cabinet, turn the TV off, but leave the control system on, and pray that we didn't have a power outage or a power surge during the day.
Yes. Whenever you committed to a game and you were good at it, you were in it to win it for that afternoon. Don't interrupt me.
Yep, you leave me alone.
Anybody, my rotary dial phone.
Anybody who watches iCarly and has seen the episode of Spencer, when he finds the old beat up video game that he brings home and he's supposed to be making a dog statue for somebody, and he gets obsessed with this game. God. Oh, yeah. That's kind of the feel. So.
And that really does encapsulate, I dare say, our age group.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, honey, I flipped out when I found out Doc McStuffins, the girl who voices Doc McStuffins, is Uma on Descendants. And on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I knew her from somewhere, but Doc McStuffins, really? She's an absolutely beautiful girl anyway. But okay. Yeah. But yeah, that
you're blowing my mind with that. Actually, that is, you're so 80s.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm one, I can recognize a voice. It doesn't matter what, if it's animated or if you've got tons of makeup on, or it's all about mannerisms. I told my sister that the guy who played Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean series, with the tentacles and everything on his face and all that, I told her it was the same man that played Victor in Underworld. She told me I was wrong.
Yeah.
She told me I was wrong until she looked it up. She said, how did you know that? Simple. He goes, ah. Same gestures, yeah. same vocalization. Anyway. But yeah, I know voices, and it blew my mind when I figured out who hers belonged to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. So, what's next? You pick the next one.
Okay, so the next category, we've done the blow your life up. I kind of want to go into the sort of elephant in the room, if you will, your favorite or top love song.
We're gonna do the love song.
I got two. I'm waiting to. I will serve to you, ma'am. Okay. So I've got two choices. What was your top love song for the 80s?
I've said it a couple of times already. This podcast, "Hello" by Lionel Richie is my number one. However, there are a couple contenders. "Suddenly" by Billy Ocean. "Suddenly life has new meaning for me. You wake up and suddenly you're in love." Love that song. Billy Ocean was amazing.
Oh, man.
And this may surprise, I know it'll surprise you. 1982's number 22. "You're Always on My Mind" by Willie Nelson.
Wow.
And one more. Number 11 in 1980, "Escape," the Pina Colada song.
Ooh! Oh, wow. Man. You are all over the place in a very good way with your choices. You've kind of covered all the bases for love songs.
Kind of my intention.
Yeah, nice.
So what did you say?
So I had two. But unlike you, you're so clever. Unlike you, I ended up kind of going literal. But that being said, I adore and love both of these songs. So my first choice is going to be "Sweet Love" by Anita Baker. And aww. It is an unabashed "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you" song.
Without all the angst and you know, tear in my beer that you get in a lot of love songs.
Right. "Sweet Love" by Anita Baker is a celebration completely with music and lyrics to this person. And it doesn't hurt that it's a fantastic, you know, tune.
Yeah, and you're right, it is. It's absolutely great. Very good choice, definitely.
And my second choice was "Night and Day" by I'll Be Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
That kind of surprises me, but okay.
And I appreciate that it's a surprise, but it was pretty easy. It was pretty easy. I love "Night and Day."
It is a very good song.
Yeah, I'll Be Sure. You know, and he's had a pretty successful career, you know, and a lot of these choices, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry, you know, you could maybe call them one hit wonders, but a lot of them had successful songwriting and producing careers.
Right.
But I'll Be Sure, there was a show on VH1 where it was the Offspring of, and I can't remember the name of the show, but it was the offspring of these people that did these songs in like the 70s and 80s, and their children. Yes, yes.
Right.
And Albie Schur's kid was just kind of there and dialing it in or what have you. Olivia Newton-John's daughter was another contestant that was like, eh. And I really kind of felt bad because these artists were kind of hopeful for the kids, but the kids' hearts weren't in it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you can't force the kids to do anything they don't want to do. I mean, music is a... music is a heart's choice, not a career choice.
Yeah, well, the kids kind of wanted to do it, but it wasn't because necessarily they wanted to create great music, but because they wanted to make money and maybe, you know, get the girls.
Right.
Or what have you. And Albie Schur, I remember at the end of it, he was just kind of defeated. And I'm like, man, that's awful. He ended up working with Herbie Hancock.
Right.
You know, a lot of these fantastic artists, and if anything, we can certainly remember Albie Schur for that fantastic, you know, yeah, Night and Day.
Oh yeah, definitely. And
great,
see,
love song.
That is the problem with the music today, I think. Yeah, because yes, I sound like my parents. I know I do, but there's no heart in most of the music that you hear. The new music today. Now, there are a few artists that are exceptional. Ava Max is one.
Okay.
Pretty Reckless is another.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Pretty Taylor. Reckless. The same girl who played Cindy Lou Who is the lead singer of Pretty Reckless.
Yeah, Taylor or something. I forgot
what
her name
was.
Yeah,
she's amazing. She has got such an incredible voice. And of course, not a bad body, but she's got an incredible voice.
Yeah.
But most of the songs nowadays that you hear as, you know, new music or popular music or what have you, there's no heart to it. There's no feeling behind it.
Yeah, it's engineered.
Yeah. It's, you know, oh, let's check the demographics and see what people, what kids these days are listening to and do a song about that. You know, No.
Right.
That's the biggest thing about the 80s and some of the 90s music is that it was definitely fueled by heart. It's definitely fueled by emotion.
And, you know, while we, you know, put this list together, I have kind of noticed that bridge where in the 70s and a lot of the 80s, they didn't know what the formula was, which was great.
Right.
They just made great music. And then you start getting into the late 80s and into the 90s. And it was the formula. And it wasn't necessarily heartfelt. It was just algorithms and what can we do to sell more units.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Let's see. What was it? I had a thought. And, of course, as slippery as my mind is, it just slipped right out.
Well, that's because you know too much about the 80s and
I'm
music.
I'm telling you. Way too much. And I, you know, the more I was sitting there when I was putting together... Oh, yeah, by the way, guys, those playlists are up and running. Go to Spotify, search capital D, the ampersand symbol, capital H...
Yes.
Top 100, and then the year, 1980, 1981, 1982. And those lists, the top 100s that we're pulling from, all of those lists are available for you to listen to on Spotify. They're all open to the public, so you guys enjoy. But when I was making these lists, of course, I was playing my music while I was making my lists. And, you know, I'd hear a song, a song would pop up, and I'd be like, oh my God, I haven't heard that in... Oh, that's that! I didn't recognize the title. Oh my goodness. You know, over and over again, and a lot of the songs that I thought I knew what they were not the songs I was thinking of. So, but, you know, just the feel, the... there's not been a decade before or since to have so many... Missing You songs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. In fact, literally, Tom Waits did Missing You.
Well, yeah. Like, I keep forgetting. You've got that one. You Hard Habit to Break.
Oh my God.
There's always something there to remind me.
Naked Eyes.
Naked Eyes. Just all over and over and over and over again, there's all kinds of songs obviously written for someone, for a specific someone.
Yes.
You don't get that much anymore.
Yeah, you know, Rosanna by Toto.
Yes.
Rosanna.
All I
want to
do when I wake up in the morning is see
you. That was
your
written
eyes.
Specifically for Rosanna Arquette.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Wiki it. But yeah.
That's awesome.
Somebody that was in Toto was in a long term relationship with Rosanna Arquette. Yeah.
Well, that's sweet. Oh, man. But I tell you what, somebody who rode the New York subway system has had a song written about them, and I bet she doesn't even know that the song's written about her.
Okay, do tell. What?
Oh, God.
Okay, yeah, do tell, actually.
Be with you.
A Great White?
No, it's not 80s. It's not 80s. It's recent. Well, semi-recent. Oh, God, now it's... So I'm totally blanking it out. Let's see. I saw her on the subway. She was with another man. It's something, but I had a plan. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Oh, James Blunt.
You're beautiful. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That song was written to a woman that this guy saw for a matter of seconds as the subway doors went to close. She caught eyes, made eye contact, she smiled at him, the doors closed, and...
That was it.
He wrote this song about her. So there's some woman running around New York who has no idea that there's been a song written about her.
Yeah.
Oh, if only.
Yeah, if only you knew.
Actually, I was thinking more along the lines of If Only from the series Descendants, but that's another story. All right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. All right, best sex songs. There's so many. If you say you've only got one or two, I'm just going to be like, disappointed.
I've got two really strong contenders. I feel like I could follow it up. And you know what? Actually, I believe that you and I are going to match on one of these songs.
Okay. I've got 10, 11, I've got like 12 of them.
Oh, my God.
And that was just a brief glance through the list.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. But see, I've had a lot more time to deal with these lists than you have. So, you know, because you've got kids, you've got family, you've got job, you've got a new dog, which takes plenty of time. Anybody who's ever brought a new dog home understands this. You know, so yeah, you
there was my first child, this dog, and then my second child.
But yeah, so you know, you've had your hands full, so I've just had a lot more time because all I do is work. I don't even sleep, so I can't say I work and sleep. I just work. So, all right. What's your couple for sex songs?
Okay, so I'm gonna cheese out.
Uh-oh.
Actually, I'm not gonna cheese out because this is so overt and in your face, and everybody from, you know, teenage boys all the way up to middle-aged men and women would agree, but I'm going with Obsession.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Who Do
God.
You Want
oh,
Me to
what?
Be to Make You Sleep With Me? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember there was a movie that kind of came out, you know, the song by Animotion had come out, and then a few months later there was a movie called One Night in Heaven that was kind of a precursor to the Magic Mike film series. And right. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Google it. But Willie Ames was this baby oil drenched stripper that seduced a married housewife, and the movie was about their story, and it was kind of the theme song, and there was a sequence that everybody kind of remembered, but it was a perfect choice.
Nice.
And it kind of helped solidify the whole sexual nature, I think, of the 80s, you know.
Yep, and that was definitely an in-your-face, I will do whatever it takes, I am going to bang your ass.
Like a butterfly, a wild butterfly,
I will collect you and capture you.
Yes, 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 yes. And
oh, yeah.
It's sexual.
Oh, most definitely.
Know, it wasn't a, I'm going to collect you and capture you because I love you.
It no, was, I don't. It has, this because... has nothing to do with the feeling. This has everything to do with physical feeling.
Yeah, right.
All right.
And then the second one I would have to say would be...
Let me guess.
And now we finally...
can I guess it?
I'm matching... Huh?
Can I guess it?
Please.
All right. I'm going to guess Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye.
Number four.
Nice.
Number four, because let's face it, we all knew what Marvin was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And Marvin ended up like recording that in his 40s, and he's like, no, baby, he's all talking like, I woke up this morning essentially with morning wood.
Yeah, I woke up this morning with a kickstand, so
yeah. Right. And you know, it belongs on the list. I think it was powered out by another song that I picked, but let's face it, Marvin Gaye was talking about straight up like, I need.
He was talking about some healing. Straight up like fucking. Let's go ahead and say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's nothing that's going to cure this headache or whatever trouble I got more than getting laid.
Exactly. Hey, sometimes that's about. All you need.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm sick. I've got a fever of about 102 degrees. What's going to help me out is a Tylenol and a really great blowjob.
There you go.
And Sexual Healing essentially kind of covers that much more nice than what I just explained.
Oh, yeah. Come on and give me some head, Aerosmith.
Huh?
Oh, the line from Run DMC and Aerosmith. Yeah, come on and give me some head.
Give me some head?
Yep. All right, so what's the,
I would
the next
say,
one?
I would say that my number two would be Pour Some Sugar on Me. And I would say, ooh, gentle listener, read the lyrics to Pour Some
yes.
Sugar on Me.
Oh, yeah, if you have a doubt. All right, I have one. It's not my number one, but I have one.
Okay.
That is also, most people go, oh, that's not a song about sex. It's about love. No, 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 honey. Listen to the words. It is not about love. And that is REO Speedwagon. I'm going to keep on loving you.
What?
I'm going to keep on loving you because it's the only thing I want to do. I don't want to sleep. I just want to keep on loving you. Oh, he is not talking about love, honey.
No, babe. He's talking about going into 4:30 in the morning.
Absolutely. Damn work.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I've heard all about those men.
Yep. And I don't care because you're with me now.
Oh, I'm going to top him.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
That's a great choice.
Oh, yeah. Now, of course, the obvious is Sugar Walls. Sheena Easton. Yeah, let me take you
agree.
Inside my sugar walls.
Now, overtly, I would totally agree. That's got to be a top three. I didn't think it was a great song.
No, I didn't either. I didn't really like it. But that's why it's not my top. Then, of course, you've got
right.
Slow Hand by the Pointer Sisters, which is a really good one.
I think that would be a overlooked one if we didn't mention it.
And then of course Foreigner had to rank up there somewhere with I Wanna Know What Love Is. No, he is not talking about the emotion. He is absolutely talking about sex.
I want you to know me.
Yep. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. But we can't forget Let's Go All the Way by Sly Fox.
Let's Go All the Way.
Touch Me by Samantha Fox. Touch Me, I Want Your Body. I mean, you can't get more blatant than that. But my number one, my absolute, and I'm really surprised you didn't go here because she's one of your favorite artists.
What is it?
Physical, Olivia Newton-John.
I've got an explanation for that. You're right. Actually, that is a overt. Yes. You know, that being said, though, I always loved Olivia Newton-John, and I got the Xanadu album. I was obsessed with her with Grease. I remember her country music songs. But Physical, to me, wasn't one of her strongest songs. She had much deeper, better constructed songs.
This one was just a kind of frivolous, let's do this thing kind of thing.
Well, that being said, I'm not going to lie. I was very turned on as a young, like, 13-year-old. What year did Physical come out?
1982.
Yeah, that's about right. I was 12.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you were just starting to figure out what Morning Wood was.
Well, you know, that being said, that was a pretty great song. I was more preoccupied with the video, and she did better songs.
Yeah, okay.
That being said, I was preoccupied with that video.
And my number two. I'm surprised that this hasn't been mentioned yet, but number two is artist we all know and love. Unfortunately, he's passed away.
Prince.
Absolutely. Raspberry Beret. Raspberry Beret. She wore a Raspberry Beret, the kind you find in a secondhand store.
Right.
Raspberry Beret, and if it was warm, she wouldn't wear much more.
Yeah.
Yep, that's my number two.
This is a damn good one.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Darling Nikki didn't come out. That was not... Of course, that was not released as a single, was it?
It wasn't released.
That's what I was thinking.
Whoa. That being said, we should actually do the disclaimer. We're talking about stuff that's more like Billboard.
Right.
There were much more sexual and blow your life up kind of songs.
Not on but we are strictly going by the Billboard Top 100s list. So.
Yeah, being said, what you're talking about.
Darling Nikki would definitely be number one.
Oh my God! Yeah. I would agree with you. Darling Nikki would be number one.
Oh yeah, definitely. You don't know how many times I've wanted to change my damn name.
That's pretty good namesake.
Oh yeah, but yeah. I also as an aside, I came up also with a couple of the best apology songs ever. I have three. Each by a different artist. Number three, The Search Is Over, Air Supply. What I was looking for is right.
Wait a minute. Right, the Search Is Over?
Yeah, it's an apology song. Read the words. The search is over. You were with me all the while.
I thought that was Survivor.
Nope. That is Air Supply. Look it up. It's number... I didn't put the list. I didn't put the name on it. Or I didn't put the year on it. Damn. But I've got my list right here, so... Give me just a second. Okay.
Yeah, it's by Survivor.
Is it by Survivor?
It is.
Why did I put Air Supply on there? Huh.
Because they were all over the 80s.
Probably because I was listening to my Spotify when I wrote this down, and it was probably in between songs. So I do apologize to my listeners. I have been known to be wrong. This is one of those times. So yeah, thank you for the correction. But yeah, that had to have been it. I was listening to Spotify when I wrote it down.
That's a hot take, though. That definitely.
And Sergio Menendez, Never Gonna Let You Go.
Never gonna let you go. Hold you in my arms forever.
Yep.
Wow. Everybody is for it, that is kind of a forgotten song.
It really is, and it's an amazing, amazing song.
Jennifer, can I propose this? You've got a lot of like rock songs and top 40 songs that people don't forget, but like your softer AM kind of songs, a lot of people have kind of forgotten them.
Okay.
And there are so many qualifiers, like that one.
Unsung artists, the ones that you don't hear about.
Well, a lot of times these guys are fairly successful, but because it was kind of softer, it doesn't count. Like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for example, does not recognize the Carpenters.
Which they should.
And of course they should. And individual songs like this one, Never Gonna Let You Go.
Yep.
Of course they should. You know, this thing sold like 2-3 million units.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But because it didn't fall in the right category.
Right.
It's a fantastic song.
So what are you proposing?
For what best?
Well, no, you said you had a proposition. You said that I know all these songs, so what do you want me to do with them? Should I make a list?
It's basically creating an extra episode, and it is also creating an extra episode from personal, really personal taste, but there's a lot of songs that when I was creating this playlist, I was looking at the top 100 over each year, but there were some songs that didn't make it that I was like, damn it.
Is that not on the list? Yeah.
Why is that not? And it's because it didn't sell enough units. But at this point, everybody knows. And I mean, just regular people, there are some Cure songs.
Oh, my God, yes.
That probably could have made it, you know.
Oh, by the way, that's also on my list of love songs.
Oh, love song, love song?
Love song by The Cure.
Which to me is one of their kind of lesser songs.
But the thing about it is...
But you, like for example, you personally could point out some amazing Rick Springfield songs.
Oh, yes.
That could have made this list, but it
didn't. Oh my God,
You know, do the Billboard. It didn't do the Billboard. Human Touch, for me, was a... pinnacle 80s song, and it never showed up on any of these lists.
Oh yeah. And yeah, and that is one of his best. Tao of Love.
It is one of his best.
Tao of Love is another one of his best.
Yes. Precisely.
You know, but yeah.
He was getting credited out by, you know, Taylor Dane and Shalimar, for example. But we know.
Oh, my number one. Best apology song? You don't hear... matter of fact, I know Journey is still touring. I know Air Supply is touring every now and then. This band, I don't think, has done anything in years. But Chicago.
It's
hard to say I'm sorry.
What year was hard for me to say I'm sorry?
That is 1982. It was number... God, was I writing 10 or 90? I'll have to look at that.
Sorry, but that's one of those songs that I thought was a 70s song.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Hard for me to, a beautiful song.
In 1982? Let's see. Come on. Where are you? Okay, it's number 10. Yep. So, we are going to do... this podcast is going to be a bit longer than we try to normally run. A couple more that hit my love songs that I kind of missed somehow. Every Woman in the World.
Actually, can I ask, you, and it was nebulous, and I'm like, what is Jennifer thinking?
Okay.
I'm wondering what you put down for what the fuck songs. Or the fuck you song.
Now the fuck you songs, the fuck you songs and the what the fuck songs are kind of right there hand in hand.
You know what? I'm going to bet $5 that I know what your fuck you song is.
Okay.
Do you actually have it officially picked?
Yeah, I do.
Something that you do.
I do. And see, this is my number one song. My number one fuck you song. I actually thought it was by The Cure. It was not.
Oh.
So no, it's not Heartbreaker.
Okay, I take it back. I withdraw this bet.
Heartbreaker is in my top five, but it's not my number one.
Okay.
My number one is Tainted Love.
Sure. You're so good. That is a fuck you song.
A couple of the other ones that I have are Ronnie Millsap's There's No Getting Over Me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't You Want Me by Human League. You Got Lucky, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Damn!
Stop Dragging My Heart Around, Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks, two of my all-time favorite artists. And one that people will say, no, that's not a fuck you song. Yes, it is. Listen to the lyrics. It was made popular by Top Gun not too long ago, and then again by Top Gun, well, okay, 40 years ago. And then again, You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Okay, you're officially better at this than I am. Yeah, that's a very good top five.
Uh-huh. All right. So, what about yours?
So, my number one fuck you song, like right off the bat, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, is I'm Still Standing by Elton John.
Yes, that made my list. It just wasn't in the top five.
Yeah, there's something about that tune. It's the the beat and his being sold on telling you to go fuck yourself.
Feeling like a true survivor.
Feeling like a little kid. Yeah, exactly.
After all this time.
All my life.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, for the fuck you, and it is kind of my punk sensibilities, it's fight for your right to party.
Absolutely.
Boys,
hell yeah. There's another one, and it's not actually in my top list, but it is a fuck you song if you think about it. It is Madonna's Material Girl.
Yeah.
Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me. I think they're okay. But the boys with the cold, hard cash, they make my rainy days.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. That could also fall into the blow my life up category.
I think she's taking a pretty good gamble. Actually, I don't know if she's necessarily blown her life up. If she loses on this, it's the next guy.
Well, no, I meant blow my life up songs, as in you ran into this type of woman. And she blew your life up.
Oh, the other end.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, cheating songs.
Okay.
What you got?
So, definitively for me, again, I have two. Definitively, I've got two sides. I'm cheating on you, and you're cheating on me.
Okay.
So, you're cheating on me. Ends up kind of going over the other one, and it's I Know There's Something Going On by Frida.
Oh, yeah, that is a fabulous song.
It's a fabulous song, and if you don't mind my volunteering, I remember going to a bachelor party strip joint, and there was a stripper that killed it.
Mm.
And like the year 2000, and she chose "I Know There's Something Going On" by Frida, and I'm like,
nice.
I love her.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's all I danced to was 80s music.
And on the other side, like, I'm actually doing the cheating. I'm going with "Secret Lovers" by Atlantic Stars.
That is definitely on my list.
Yeah, right. And it's such a good song. You know, Jen, we talk about a lot of rock and roll, and we talk about a lot of our alternative, but the R&B, you know, front definitely had a lot of great, great hits, and "Secret Lovers" is a huge forefronter.
They opened the door for a lot of the lyrics that we have today.
Yes.
You know, if you hadn't had music like "Slow Hand" and "Sexual Healing," you wouldn't have music like "Touch Me, I Want Your Body."
Right. That was so upfront.
Oh yeah. But I'm sorry, the R&B artists, they knew how to say everything they wanted to say, and still be goddamn sexy about it. They could be telling you your house was blue and the grass was green, but they could sing it and make you just crazy.
It seemed like the white artists were kind of overt, and when you're partying, it's like, yeah.
Because they had to be in your face. The R&B artist is like, nah, you need to slow down and think a minute.
Yeah, you gotta be secret.
You gotta slow it down. Cheating songs. "The Girl Is Mine," Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. Radio silence. Hall & Oates, "Say It Isn't So." And my number one cheating song. This also goes into an apology song, but it's my number one cheating song. "Careless Whisper" by Wham.
And we've actually done like 15 minutes on the podcast on this. Straight up the shit.
And then a couple of honorable mentions. "Human" by Human League.
We still have the "Longing" song.
Oh yeah, I've still got that one. But just you've got "Part-Time Lover," Stevie Wonder. "Run to You," Ryan Adams. "Human" by Human League. "They Don't Know," Tracy Ullman.
Right. So let's talk about Tracy Ullman in this song.
Okay.
It was kind of a statement from her, you know, and she was usually known for, like, you know, comedy skits.
I was
going to
say, wasn't she more of a comedian than she was?
Yeah, and she ended up making this kind of like statement song, and it was actually pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, it blew a lot of people's minds. Number one, that she could sing.
You're right, yes.
Because if you remember her, you know, doing her comedy skits and whatever, she had a really kind of whiny, nasally kind of voice.
She was right after the Young Ones on MTV. You know, she was that English comedy that had after Monty Python. It was like the Young Ones and Tracy Ullman and AbFab.
Yep.
You know, and she ended up, well, everybody knew she was funny, and then she got a recording contract.
Right.
Yeah, and it was a great song.
And it was. I mean, it just, hey, they don't know. They don't know about us.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a "Don't Leave" favorite song?
"Please Don't Leave" favorite song?
Yeah,
yes.
"Please Don't Leave."
I do. "Can't We Try"?
George Michael?
No. Let me find it. I didn't write it down. Hang on. "Can We Try Just a Little Bit Longer?"
Yeah. R&B again.
Yep. I just saw it when I was going over my list before we started. Don't think it's as late as 84. before. I think it's before that. Let me do a search. Hang on. But yeah, Can't We Try? That is my Please Don't Leave song. It is, you know, whatever I have to do, whatever right. I will do whatever is necessary. Please, can't we just try one more time? Can't we just try?
Just a little bit longer.
Yep.
It was an American duo. It's like Ashford and Simpson, the same people that did Song Like a Rock.
Oh, really? Now, I didn't know that.
I think so. I think it was Ashford and Simpson. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Can't We Try? Dan Hill and Vonda Shepherd, number 63. On
what year?
That's what I'm looking for. On 1987's playlist. But yeah, that is my ultimate. And my ultimate saying goodbye song is not on the 80s list. So that would be Say Something. Say Something, I'm giving up on you. I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you.
That's definitely 2000s.
Oh, yeah. But since we were going there.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. A couple of honorable mentions.
Oh,
the
okay.
Breakup songs. Neil Diamond, Love on the Rocks.
Yep.
That I can remember. And I hear him sing now, and it's like, okay, that's a Vegas show kind of deal.
Well, if you consider Vegas Elvis show.
Right. But that's what the Vegas shows evolved from, not the other way around.
You know, though, before that, though, Neil was amazing. He did
America?
You know, Caroline. Yeah, he did Coming to America. You know, before he did the Vegas
but
stuff,
Love
he was
on
kind of the Jewish Elvis.
Oh, yeah, the Love on the Rocks, though. I remember, God, years, and it is on this list somewhere. I remember.
And is this for the breakup song?
Yeah, breakup songs. Love on the Rocks. But, yeah, I can remember my mom listening to her Neil Diamond and her Barbara Streisand and her Dolly Parton and her, what's the other woman? Coal Miner's Daughter. Loretta Lynn. Albums. And his voice just, he was not a magnificent singer.
No. Right.
But
agreed.
You could feel the heart that was behind everything that came out of his mouth. And it was incredible to me. It really made an impression, which is why I have the view I have on music to this day, is because of artists like him.
Well, you know, in a way, and I'm going to submit this to you, the 60s had the Beatles, and they were English. In the 70s, we had Neil Diamond. It was like Sweet Caroline, and it was AM Gold stuff. And it was kind of more accessible to, like, my mom.
Well,
exactly, my mom. And we would travel, and it was like Sweet Caroline.
The 70s?
Forever in Blue Jeans. Forever in Blue Jeans, babe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he's great, and I really do think that he is criminally overlooked in the 80s.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
We haven't talked about Neil Diamond at all, and I feel that we have kind of neglected that. But Neil Diamond in the 80s?
He is a forerunner of, you know, of a lot of the artists that we have today.
Well said,
madam. Just incredible. Now, this is a song. There's another song. Now that we were talking about the country artists and that kind of thing, I thought it came out in the 80s, and I was right. It did not hit Billboard's charts. However, it did hit the country music charts.
Uh-huh.
Released in October 1984 and was the number one hit on the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Singles charts in February 1985. And that...
Elvira.
No. That one hit the charts. That one hit Billboard's. What I'm talking about is Mel McDaniel. Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On.
Uh-huh.
Elvira actually hit in 1980, if I remember correctly.
Later.
Let's see. Now she was actually not that far down. Let's see, where are you? My eyes aren't working properly. I do apologize. Oh, please. I'm just going to do a search. I finally figured out how to do a search on my own.
Gentle listener, my favorite breakup song, Heart in My Heart, Quarter Flash.
That actually hit my fuck you list.
And the Don't Leave song, Separate Ways by Journey.
Really?
Yeah. If you must go, I wish you luck. It was straight up a guy.
You'll never walk alone. Take care of my love. Miss you much.
Yep. My favorite Don't Leave song, but if you must.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
And for the Longing song, it was Emotional Rescue by the Rolling Stones.
Actually, that was on my list too. It didn't make number one because it just seemed to me to be too obvious.
But Jim, he says, tonight and every night, I will be your knight in shining armor.
Aww.
Coming to your emotional rescue. And then there's a pause, and I feel like looking into your eyes, you will be mine, you will be mine, all mine.
Aww. It's a very sweet song. And it's actually, it's not out there over the top the way most of your Rolling Stones songs are. Mm-hmm. It's actually extremely heartfelt.
It is heartfelt from a Dom. Like for me, yeah. The ultimate Dom song from the 80s is Emotional Rescue, and he loves his submissive.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you can't really... It's not a relationship if there's not feeling behind it, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
When I listen to the song, though, I feel like there's feeling.
Obviously. Oh, a couple of last minute. Oh, Love on the Rocks is number 26 from 1981, and Elvira is number 31,
1981. Yes.
Boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, boom, bop, Elvira. Oh, yeah.
Remember Swinging?
Just a Swinging. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. The Longing songs, though? Yeah. There's a couple of them. The Winner Takes It All.
Winner Takes It All.
The
right.
Loser Standing Small.
Right.
It's simple and it's plain, so why should I complain? Yup.
Indeed.
That one, and then there's, I've mentioned a couple of them as well. I Keep Forgetting.
Oh my God. How have we not talked about I Keep Forgetting?
And there's one by, I believe it's Exposé. It's later on the list. Hang on. Um, Oh, I Miss You by Climax.
Wow.
I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
What category?
Longing.
For longing, I have Let My Love Open the Door.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Oh, where is it? I'm trying to find, because I didn't write it down. I'm trying to find a specific song. It's either, I think it's by Exposé, but it might be Sheena Easton. I am not seeing it, so I'm going to search Exposé. And I can hear the song in my head.
Exposé was taking me to the point of no return.
It might be them. It's not Come Go With Me. Okay, so it's not Exposé. Miami Sound Machine. Words get in the way. That's one of them.
More Miami Sound Machine?
Anything For You, 1988. Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
Yep.
And I'd do anything for you, but you're not here. Yep. Since you said we're through, seems like years. Oh, yeah. I can't pretend each time I see you that I don't care and I don't need you. Because sometimes things don't work out right and you just have to say goodbye. Of course, it fucks up as far as the longing song because she's actually agreeing that it's okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Climax, Missing You, or I Miss You.
Miss you.
I miss you. There's no other way to say it. And I can't deny it. Oh, yeah, my voice is shot, but yeah, that one. Number 74 on 1986's list also is, that's like in my top three for top longing songs.
Yeah.
Mike and the Mechanics. All I Need Is a Miracle.
Yeah. But, you know, also, for people of a certain age.
Right.
At this point. And I think I understand why it started getting thinner towards, like, 87, 88, 89.
Right.
Was because I was starting to listen to other genres.
Right.
Metal, new wave, and... You know, I think I have at number 100, Let's Go All the Way.
Yeah.
And that's been replaced easily by The Smiths, The Cure, some metal bands, that sort of thing. And what we've been talking about is basically Billboard Top 100 on our personal preferences.
Right.
But I was starting to get detached from that, much like Johnny probably was, much like Tom would have done. You know, we in the 80s, we were starting to look at other genres, and we weren't necessarily listening to the radio to say, yep, this is definitely number 90?
We were actually starting to become our own people. The 80s helped us grow up. The 80s helped us grow up.
It wasn't stuff that mom was listening to when she school when I was, you know, 15 years old.
Right. But it helped us grow up. But then once we started stretching our legs, so to speak, we start, as you said, going into other genres, checking out stuff that's a little bit more underground, a little bit less mainstream. And so a lot of the 88, 89 playlists, yeah, I know every song on the list, but do any of them make me sit there and go, oh man, hear that. That's a great song. No.
Right.
Might be
this
five.
This is where Jennifer ended up becoming Jennifer. And Jennifer started making her own decisions artistically.
And Jennifer started listening to Danzig and Slipknot. And
yes, right, exactly.
Oh, one more for longing song. One more, and I'll stop. 1987's number 2, Alone by Heart.
Well, we know you love, of course you love Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, at the end of all of this, I love how when I examine your musical tastes alongside my musical tastes, you definitely are more like American. And you were definitely girl.
The thing about it is, My list, the reason I don't have, okay, this is solid 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through 100, is because my preferences change with my situation and my mood.
Right.
So, that's why I say, okay, I've got 1 through, say, 20 in no particular order, and then the next 20 in no particular order, because my tastes change and... You know, if I'm dealing with a lot of emotional issues, you're going to see a lot of love songs, fuck you songs, and longing songs. If I'm in a good place and I'm having a great time and things are good and da-da-da-da-da, you're going to see a lot of don't worry, be happy kind of songs. If I'm having trouble at work and somebody's pissing me off on a constant basis, you're going to see a lot more come on, feel the noise, and
round and round by rat
and that kind of thing. So, you know, my list is going to vary depending on where I'm at. But I really tried to put together a comprehensive kind of all about me top 100 list. I do have a few honorable mentions because these are categories I didn't even think to mention to get you to look up. So, best classroom sex song.
What?
Don't Stand So Close to Me by The Police.
Best classroom sex song?
Yeah. The teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. Yeah. Best sounds like
that's
sex.
That's like Lolita.
Best sounds like sex, but it isn't song. The Stroke by Billy Squire.
Oh, yeah. The Stroke has always got to be on the list. The Stroke by Billy Squire is huge.
Yeah, but it's not about sex.
No, he's talking about the music industry.
And he's talking about business in general, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Sign of the Times.
By Prince, right?
No, Sign of the Times category. Not by Prince. Luca by Suzanne Vega. Ebony and Ivory. McCartney and Stevie Wonder. And The Way It Is by Bruce Hornsby and the Range.
Oh, why do you want to go there? Oh, my God. Oh, now you've got to invoke Bruce Hornsby and the Range. And That's the Way It Is. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah,
two
okay.
more.
You're getting deep. You're getting deep.
The best Stalker song. Every Breath You Take.
Oh, obviously.
And Private
and
Eyes.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that is a Stalker song.
Yes, it is. Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you.
Yeah. Right, right.
There's
Everybody
no other way to
that was
translate
so romantic.
That. There is no other way to translate that.
That's not cool.
And the best Sorry About Your Luck, But The Baby's Not Mine song. Da da da. Billie Jean, Michael Jackson.
Yep. The dog, yep. The kid is not my son.
Yep. Showed me a photo of a baby crying, eyes look like mine. But the kid is not my son. Oh, and along those same lines, Dirty Diana, also by my
He's talking about Diana Ross.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't matter. Chew. I'm sorry, Diana Ross being a dirty girl. Okay, I think I just died and went to heaven.
I think that Diana Ross stuck a finger in his butt.
I think Diana Ross turned him down and he tried to get even.
Oh. Very interesting.
Yes. But yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, okay. I tell you what. I will make this challenge. I know you're not, it's going to be kind of an iffy situation as far as with the work and the home and the family and everything that you got to juggle. I challenge for you to do an emergence from the 80s kind of playlist. Not necessarily not 80s, but just music that didn't hit these lists. It doesn't have to be top 100. Just, you know, give us a sampling of different things that you were listening to during this time period that were not mainstream enough to hit the list. And I, to counter that, will do a let's listen to these guys kind of songs that made the list. But most people don't recognize the names of the songs or don't realize that's the song they're thinking about.
Well, Loki's inferior avatar of the period that you're describing accepts this challenge.
Nice. So, guys, that is...
Okay, now we're talking, and this is going to be much, much fun.
And this is gonna be whenever Carrie has a little bit of time to dedicate to this, because God knows you've got enough going on, guy.
Yeah. Yes.
So. Go ahead.
But we're gonna get into more esoteric.
Oh.
Well, this is also, guys. Listen, and I mean. Jen, I think you'd agree. This is where we start getting into a time period where New Wave, the British Invasion, the Second British Invasion is more prominent on, you know, American sales and MTV.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking more like The Cure. Actually, we're still talking about, like, American acts.
Well, yeah.
You know, just stuff that doesn't show up on the Billboard.
Things that you've heard somewhere, but you're not quite sure where, and you can't remember who did it, and you really can't remember the lyrics to the word, the lyrics to the songs, but you know you've heard it. Those kind of songs, yeah.
Yeah, The Forest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, The Cure, maybe, well, hell, there's actually going to be a lot of surprises, probably, on this. And it's a lot of things that have influenced us to this day.
Oh, yeah.
It's so amazing. I remember watching The Craft. You remember the original Craft movie?
Yes. Oh, God, yes, I love that movie.
And it was a fantastic movie, but almost no Americans had been introduced to the Smiths and, you know.
Right.
You know, the theme song.
I'm trying to recall it right now. I know I've heard it.
The, I am human and I need to be loved.
Oh, yeah. Just like yeah.
And people are like, oh, yeah. And the Smiths sold easily 3 million copies.
Just because of the movie.
Joy Division after The Crow.
Oh, God, Joy Division was amazing. Yeah. Oh, God, I love that song.
Yeah, and it's Dead Souls. And yeah, a lot that of us song... don't necessarily recognize this. And guys, I promise, this is where we start getting into Johnny Depp going like, yes. And definitely Tom Hiddleston going, yes.
Or Tom Hiddleston going, what?
Yeah. And also kind of as like a side project thing, I would love to hear like American kind of alternative music interpreted through Johnny's voice and
oh my
British
God.
Alternative music interpreted through Tom's voice.
And guys, I know you've watched TikTok. There are a lot of NSFWs out there with supposedly Tom's voice.
Oh my God.
I think he's recorded maybe two. Hundreds that are out there. Yeah, Tom Hiddleston voiceovers are a big thing now. But yeah, the 90% of what you're hearing is not Tom Hiddleston. So, yeah, and...
Is this seriously a thing?
Yeah.
Is this happening?
yes. Yes, this is happening. This is a big thing.
We should talk about...
What? However, we do have Johnny's birthday coming up in, like, 2 weeks. Matter of fact, no. Oh, my God. Is it next week? Oh, no. I have run out of time to prepare.
June, July.
It is June 9th.
Yep, it's next.
Crap. Okay, guys. Next week. Prepared or not. Me and whoever's doing the podcast with me, be it Barry, Carrie, or both, are doing a look into 1963. Movies, music, just like we did for Hiddleston for his birthday for 1981. We are going to do a year in review for the year that Johnny was born, which was 1963. Our favorite man around town will be 60 years old. So, that will be Thursday or next podcast. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. And we will iron out the details of these other music podcasts. And hopefully we will tie Barry to a chair and force him to write his top 100 and get all three of those lists posted on the blog as soon as the blog starts behaving itself. So,
I will buy Barry a low to medium sized dinner if he will agree to do this podcast because he was present, if you will. We need people that were there.
What do you mean he was present?
Well, not present, but an expert or somebody that can, with authority, comment on this.
On 1963?
Yeah.
He was born the same year you were. No, he was born the year after you were.
You need older guys that can analyze this.
You're older than he is.
I'm older than Barry?
Yes, he was born in 1972.
Dot.
You were born November 2nd of 70, and he was born November 11th of 72.
Well, then, let me rephrase that as the discerning mind of Barry should be present for this. So we need to actually get the three great minds. And if we can't, we're still going to make it work. This is a great idea.
So are you going to be able to do this one with us next week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most certainly.
Awesome.
Yeah, my God.
Awesome. That is good news. That makes me happy.
I think you're lovely, don't get me wrong, but when you do these challenges...
Yes, I know. I'm small potatoes when it comes to the challenges, so...
But you bring it together.
Absolutely. And I will coordinate. I will do the research. I will come up with everything that we need to come up with. And then I will let you guys know. And hopefully all three of us can get together and do this podcast. That would be awesome.
And, you know, gentle listener, if you're into these songs that we've talked about, please give them a listen. They're very complex, and they've shaped what we are listening to now. Yep. That being said, if you're not and you don't care, that is also fine, but let's keep this discussion going.
Yeah, if you've got music that you want us to listen to that you think we're overlooking because of things we've said on the podcast or what have you, hey, send us a list. Give us some music for us to listen to. We would definitely be down for that.
Jen, you're going to be pissed off, but there was a casual listener about a week and a half ago that listened to this podcast, and people these days don't want to intervene or talk about what we've talked about, and
okay, so what happened? How did they contact you?
They had an opinion. I was in the company of someone that had listened to the podcast.
Wow.
That had an opinion, but did not want to submit it.
What was the opinion?
The opinion was there's a band called Death Cab for Cutie, and they're awesome.
All right. Death Cab, as in like taxi cab?
Yep. Death Cab for Cutie.
Let me write this
down.
And
there's a song that they did that's beautiful called I Will Possess Your Heart. And if you get a listen to it, you will definitely get the Johnny Depp vibes. And they're like, this is definitely a Johnny Depp song, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, I think so. It's
all right.
Definitely up to your interpretation. That being said, you should call in, but they...
Let me reiterate once again, guys. Nothing that you say will be repeated if you don't want it to be. You are absolutely free to withhold your name, your phone number, contact information. We do not give any of that information out. So that is not a question. If you want to send us a text or a, you know, give us a call or send us an email with just your opinion and no contact information, that is fine as well. This is all about no hate, okay? This is all about sharing of opinions, attitudes, feelings, and philosophies. We're not about downing someone because of their likes and dislikes. We're more than willing, and I'm going to give this a listen as soon as I get off this recording. I am going to listen to this song because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
So, next podcast, I will definitely give a review.
Yeah.
So, tell your friend to tell their friend to keep an ear out that we will be talking about it.
Yeah, we'll do without giving any more...
Right.
Without giving any more information, that being said, this poor student is a student during the summer semester.
That is all that is necessary. All right, guys.
Well, that being said, I'm probably going to be like buying a couple of burgers for this poor student.
I would recommend it. Contact information. We have a couple of different ways. You can get in touch with us, any of us, all of us, at depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. That is our email. We also have our dedicated phone line, which is, and I should have memorized this by now, you would think. That would be, oh, and my phone is being freaky. That would be 949-373-5476. You want to talk to me, you want to talk to Barry, you want to talk to Carrie, you want to talk to Faye, you want to talk to London, you want to talk to anybody who's been on the podcast. I guarantee you we know how to get in touch with them. So, give us a shout out. Let us know who you want to talk to, and we'll see what we can do about making that happen. Give us a appropriate time to call you back, and give us a time zone, a country where you're at, just so we don't call you at 3 a.m. unless you want us to. Carrie, you also have contact information?
I have contact information for my PlayStation Network, which is user Traveler2300. Traveler spelled with 2 L's, no spaces, 2300.
And that's on PlayStation Network?
That's right. And my email address is Traveler2300. And Mako 3303 at hotmail.com.
And that's
M-A-K-O. M-A-K-O. 3303, no spaces.
All right, guys. So that's the information. And you can also check out our blog. I'm putting a lot of stuff on there. I'm just now trying to catch up everything over the last 6 months or so. Gotten a little bogged down. So bear with us. But yeah, you can go to depthedshiddlestoners.com, or you can go to barryreese.net and click on the link. Hopefully next week we will have me, Carrie, Barry, and we will all be doing 1963.
And that would be amazing.
We'll see what happens. I'll see what I can do to coordinate. Until then, hey guys, if you can't be good at it.
Love and peace.
Peace and love. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.